All right, welcome everyone to our 10th episode of Chatter from the Underground. Unfortunately, Twitch decided to name the title of this stream the same thing last thing my daughter played, which is Among Us. So I'm going to have to change that. But, like I said, we're doing our 10th episode, and we're trying to talk about some conspiracies. And tonight we've got Amber. Hello, Amber. We got Mr. Cool Breeze. Hello, Cool Breeze. And Mr. Bartender Nick. How you doing, Nick?
What's going on, my friends?
And tonight, Nick has decided to enlighten us on some professional wrestling conspiracies. And some of them are new to me. Some of them I've heard before. So take it away, buddy.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jabba. Welcome, everybody. And absolutely right. We are just a few days removed from WrestleMania 40. I've been hearing and seeing wrestling a little bit more being presented, and it seemed like a natural melting of the two topics. And let's start this off first and foremost, if you are ready, because we have some wrestling fans, former, present, lapsed, and otherwise. Friends, throw it on out there, and I'll go last. Who are your one favorite wrestler, past, present, or future? Let's start it on up with good old Cool Breeze.
Man, that's really tough.
I know.
I got to go with, during my formative years, I got to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm nothing like him whatsoever, but I want to be like him. I wish he would adopt me and make me his son, you know, things like that. But yeah, Stone Cold, he's just, man.
That is the dream.
Yeah.
Amber, favorite wrestler, past, present, future, you got to pick one, go with it.
For me, growing up, it was always Undertaker.
Excellent choice. Fantastic. Love the dead man. Do you have what's a favorite memory of the Undertaker? Being scared of him, being in awe of him, or just wanting to just be there cheering him on?
Honestly, just cheering him on. Although I think I was going through my goth phase at the time, so.
I like the eye thing he did.
Yeah, even Undertaker, he was already goth, and he like went like he cranked it up to like super goth at one point. He gave.
He did.
And finally, got
a Raven.
Love me some Raven. Absolutely. Well, that's a deep cut. Let's hear it on Mr. Jabba. What's favorite wrestler, past, present, future? You got to name one.
I mean, it's going to be Sting, man. I went through my goth phase as well.
It's
I was a
Sting.
Huge fan. Yeah. I was a huge fan of The Crow when he came out there in the black and the white. That was the crap, man. That was awesome.
Might be one of the best definitions of reinvention in the history of pro wrestling. The guy was already super popular, and he said, hey, look at this. I'm going to do this again. And yeah, amazing. Absolutely. Big fan of Sting, who actually just retired like weeks ago, if you can believe it or not. Had his last match within weeks. Yeah, fantastic. I'm going to go with, I'm up here in the north. I'm a big fan. He is actually going to be pretty much on our $20 bill pretty soon. His name is Bret the Hitman Hart. He is my favorite. And since I was a kid and on, big fan, read his book, had a chance to see him wrestle several times. And to me, it'll always be about the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Yeah, thanks. Fantastic. If you actually were to make a Mount Rushmore of the four best of the best, actually, I think we just nailed it right there. And we can stamp this as Chatter from the Underground's pro wrestling Mount Rushmore, because that was... No one could argue these, and if they would, I'd love to see them try. Because so well done, right there. But that actually brings us to the subject of, first off, we'll go with a popular one that's always thrown around there. I want to talk about a gentleman, a crazy man, everything in between from parts unknown. His name was the Ultimate Warrior. Friends, have you heard of the Ultimate Warrior?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's been a long time since I've heard that name.
Yeah, and the Ultimate Warrior is kind of the that last generation. It's a few generations back. He was the Ultimate Warrior turned into Warrior, a very polarizing, controversial fellow who might have, he's sometimes in the argument, wasn't the best quote-unquote wrestler out there, but he had an allure, a charm, and he might have had a twin or a double, much like the Beatles, Paul McCartney theory. Wrestling has one of those too, where at one point, they do think that he was 100% replaced with another bodybuilder, but I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself. Have you, first off, heard of this, that the whole two warriors, or there was a second Ultimate Warrior theory, anybody?
No, I haven't.
I had heard rumblings. Yeah, I had heard rumblings about that back in the day. Because one of the things, he was very popular when he came out before the alleged switch. And he didn't stay popular as all other wrestlers did, but for older generations, they're popular with them, but not with the newer people. But I only heard it in rumblings. It wasn't that big of a, because people really didn't care that much.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about it. He was in and out. He always had this kind of, and that's the thing, you're right. He was in and out. He was. He didn't have longevity. He, a guy who beat Hulk Hogan 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania. He was given everything on a platter, and he would do things like no show, hold up Vince McMahon for money, saying, if you didn't put me on last and give me this percentage of the gate, well, guess what? No warrior for you tonight. And he made it seem like it was because his fans deserve better. He was a very polarizing figure, but the big one, the smaller one that I always heard, there was always two warriors at one point. One of them died. The very popular and tragic Von Erich stories is that one of the Von Erichs replaced him. And that's anybody seen the Iron Claw recent wrestling movie?
No. I got it on my list though, but
it ties into that.
Oh, only thing I was thinking was whenever you told me about the whole Ultimate Warrior, replacement thing. I was thinking about the whole, what's her name? seeing Skater Boy and things like that.
Avril Lavigne,
yeah. Apparently she's supposed to be, the one now is supposed to be a replacement because the original one died of Lyme disease or something like that, which obviously is bullshit, but
Not sure it's possible to replace Avril.
Yeah, that'd be a trick. But if they were going for a very tough one, like she disappeared for the longest time. It's so far out there, though, it almost makes sense at the opposite time. She's a fellow Canadian, so I should have my ear to the ground on that one. But getting back to the Ultimate Warriors, that was that's pretty much where some of these conspiracy theories sort of start. Is it's almost easy. He was a great target for something like that, where he just disappeared. He was somebody in makeup. He was somebody with a bodybuilder physique. He didn't have tattoos. You can kind of easily replace him, I think. And this is just a little bit of an appetizer to the main course of the conspiracy theory wrestling tag team today. But I do sincerely believe that it's one of those ones that still ripples even after the Ultimate Warrior passed away several years ago in real life, the real and only Ultimate Warrior. There is also the case that WCW, many of you might be familiar, WWF/WWE is the big one, but are you familiar with the other ones, be it WCW or ECW?
I'm familiar with WCW, but not ECW.
Yep. At one point, WCW was the biggest, almost put WWE, well, it was WWF at the time, out of business.
Yep.
But then they fumbled the bag real bad, kind of like what Skype did. When the pandemic hit, I mean, they had a huge lead and they were set up to win and they just fumbled the bag.
And then they lost it to Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what WCW did with WWF.
Very apt. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very, very good. Very, very, very good comparison. And no, I totally agree with that. And WCW, absolutely. They, the scene in The Dark Knight where Heath Ledger burns that big pile of money, it's like WCW was like,
oh, wow.
No, no, hold my beer. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, so that was, that gets to They had a copycat wrestler named the Renegade who painted his face, had streamers, ran down to the ring in a crazy... So, and sadly, that gentleman did pass away, where that also reignited the theories. And when it comes down to it, there was no two Ultimate Warriors. There are a lot of muscular-looking guys who looked a lot like them. But that one is kind of still floated around. That one's a little bit of a minor one. It also... allegations that Vince McMahon helped cover it up because he had put so much money into the character of the Ultimate Warrior, he didn't want to let it go, and therefore he had come up with another person to replace it, which is actually pretty very believable if you know Vince McMahon, know of him. So that's actually put some pretty good fuel to that fire.
He's definitely covered stuff up.
Yeah, Vince McMahon is like the devil. But another thing that helped promote that conspiracy theory was that he had face paint and he had like zero tattoos. So there's no identifying thing about him.
Easy switch.
Like, because some of the other wrestlers, like Rey Mysterio, had a mask. You could switch him, sure. But he had like tattoos and stuff. And some of the other wrestlers, like even Sting, had more definitive traits. But the Ultimate Warrior, as long as you get some other muscular guy in tandem, you know, some bronzer, some snooky bronzer on him, then you could pass off anybody with him.
And make sure they can't wrestle too well, because Warrior could run really good and shake those ropes, but let's face it.
He was not technical at all. He was just a ball of energy. That's all he was.
You throw him in a paper bag, and I'm like, I might bet on a draw, you know. You throw him in a paper bag, and I'm like, I might bet on a draw, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're...
So good. Let's put...
You're echoing Java. We're hearing the twitch.
Yeah, nope. He did.
My bad.
I don't know how he did that. Yeah. There we go.
I don't know how I did that either. My bad. Is this still echoing?
Nope. All good.
Nope. We're good.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good.
And that run really brings us to the more famous, the one that still ripples through time. It involves all the players that we mentioned to a degree. This one is the Montreal Screwjob. It's even the name itself that kind of evolved from just the events, the crazy conspiracies that were happening that have been confirmed that didn't. It's such a layered onion of kayfabe, which is the appearance of trying to keep wrestling real and fake, a work, which is the maintaining of keeping kayfabe, keeping the script, and a shoot, which is totally off script, the melting of reality and fiction and fantasy. What do you guys know about the Montreal Screwjob?
Nothing. You're going to have to enlighten me.
I'm about to learn something today. Yeah.
Well, sure. Let's throw out, you guys heard the name Bret the Hitman Hart. I threw that one out. Vince McMahon. We all know who Vince McMahon. Cole Reeves referred to him as the devil. And I don't know if the devil's that bad.
He referred to him as the devil. Nice.
I think he's the devil's boss.
Yeah. So this the Montreal Screwjob. So it all starts with Bret the Hitman Hart. Fantastic Canadians, Canada's hero. One of my heroes. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. There was, of course, the days of Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, the Land of the Giants. It was a time when you'd see these giants and not even believe they were real. And Vince McMahon loved pushing big, larger-than-life, giant wrestlers. People paid to see them, the Andre the Giants, the Undertakers, the 7 feet talls, and even referred to the Diesels, the lesser knowns, even then. As those times go on, steroids enter the lexicon. Charges and trials come about where the smaller guys, the more athletic guys, the work rate gentlemen such as Shawn Michaels, Bret the Hitman Hart, Rick the Model or Martel, just to name a few. These smaller guys are put on a pedestal, their work rate's put over. They start building the company around healthier looking and more athletic. But money's down, things aren't going so great pushing this. People still want to see their larger-than-life Hulk Hogans and Andre the Giants. So as the time goes on, Bret Hart, fantastic champion, just doesn't seem to be working that Vince McMahon just feels he can't pay Bret all this money. Bret is the best of the best. He's the champ. There's some politics backstage in a nutshell. He's being offered money by the competitors, and it happens to be lots and lots of money, $3 million, which at the time, second to Hulk Hogan, was the biggest contract offering at all time. Big problem, Bret Hart is the champion. He has beef with the guy that they want him to lose to. Now, I'm not talking in the storyline. This actually is where it blurs into the real life, where a gentleman named Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, they just don't get along. Bret decides, I don't want to drop the title to Shawn Michaels. We have a match in Montreal. So let's find a different way to do it. Let's do next night. We're in the States. I'll drop it to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'll drop it to The Undertaker. I have a problem with Shawn Michaels. I'm leaving the company. Let's do it like that. McMahon says, good to go. Let's do it like that. It did not go like that. Last minute, there was a switcheroo. There was a ringing of the bell, basically in a very, very quick and underhanded way of conspiracy and underhandedness. They managed to get the belt off Brett, sent him off to WCW, where they did not utilize him well as a character as they should have. And long story short, WCW doesn't exist anymore. WWF/E does. And that's where the conspiracy starts, sprouts, and comes from there. And so does any of this ring any bells? The Montreal Screwjob, Bret Hart, McMahon, anything along those lines?
I vaguely remember watching when that happened, but it was so long ago.
Sure. And that would have been the precipice of the Attitude Era, the Stone Cold, Vince McMahon, Boss Hayton, the Rock. That was right before, and it's directly and indirectly tied. So, yeah, and that's right when it was getting there.
So a little context to it is there was a time when wrestling was actually real, where they didn't, you know, have the pre outcomes or whatever. And when Vince McMahon took over WWE, he found a loophole. He found that sporting events paid different taxes than a scripted show, and he was trying to make as much money as possible. So he was the one that orchestrated the whole switching to scripted wrestling so he could save a bunch of money on taxes.
And then it got sports to sports entertainment. Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. And so they changed it from sports to sports entertainment. And so he was hemorrhaging money, and this is at a time when he wanted to take the company public to make money. But he was loyal to Bret Hart. He offered him a 20-year contract. And exactly. He signed it, and it was good. But at the time he wanted to take it public, if you understand business, you got to get rid of certain stuff, debt, and all kind of stuff. And this contract was an albatross around his neck. So he went to Bret Hart like, hey, I need you to void this contract and let's do something else. And basically that really hurt Bret, because he was like, he's a loyal person. He didn't even care. He took less money to stay at WWE because he was loyal to them than go to WCW. And then when this happened, he was like, no, I'm not, just like Nick said, I'm not going to drop it to Shawn Michaels. I hate his guts. He had no respect for him in real life, not on the scripted show. And so that's when the whole thing, yeah. And so that's when the whole thing started going. And Vince McMahon's like, all right, you don't want to take less money and do as I say, then we're just going to screw you and kick you out. And so that's where the whole money issue came in, because Vince wanted to become, you know, make serious money instead of just okay money running wrestling.
Sure. And you peeled back more of a layer where absolutely Brett was looked at as a father figure and a bit of a leader in the locker room. But Sean was also with his buddies, Kevin Nash / Diesel, Razor Ramon / Kevin Hall. Sorry, Kevin Nash is Diesel. Scott Hall is Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
So that they basically had their little clique in the locker room. Triple H was also one of them. Sean Waltman / the 1-2-3 Kid was also one of them. So it was just a power struggle. The Shawn Michaels clique did seem to win out and did seem to be successful. It did lead to the Attitude Era. And Brett went packing, albeit with a company just about on the equal footing and making $3 million minimum per year to do what he was making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. So that's the big theory within the theory. And I present to you, and the beauty is, without getting too deep into it, and Cool Breeze knowing a little bit, is the theory within the theory that this might have actually been, from day one, Vince McMahon sending Brett over to the competition to take them down from the inside out. It'd be the ultimate got you, because spoilers, in the end, the never going to happen ever, Brett did reconcile with the WWF/WWE, and, well, there wasn't a surprise this would happen, but WCW did absolutely fold. So that's the theory within the theory that's been put out there, and that one seems to pop up quite a bit. And such said wrestlers, Kevin Nash and Sean Waltman / the 1-2-3 Kid, heavily, heavily support this theory, which is the very interesting thing.
I mean, I would believe that of McMahon. I would definitely believe that of McMahon. The other possibility that I could definitely see is that he sent him over there just to get him out of his hair for a while. because McMahon would do stuff like that. He would do anything it took to get rid of what he considered a problem player, somebody who didn't want to play by his rules.
Bret Hart, he was the one that was always dark, had a long hair, always looked greasy and wet, right?
Yeah. Pink and black attack, my man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You just described like eight different wrestlers.
I mean, yeah, true. That's absolutely true.
But a guy with it.
Yeah.
Amber actually brings up a really great point. One thing that Bret did do that a lot of people kind of forget about with the whole screw job, as it's called, is there was actually some angles that himself, with in the power that he had, with the power struggle in politics, he actually did start trying to veto some edgier pre-attitude angles. Like there was a lesbian angle that was actually really, I'd say ahead of its time, but before the attitude, where it did get very trashy and, you know, lesbian, gay hookups. And
it was ahead of its time.
It kind of was. But even then, it was kind of before, but it was almost looked at as, they presented it in a trashy way where Bret put the kibosh on that, and Vinnie Mac didn't like that.
So, man, no, it was like, when that happened, it was like, he didn't like Vince, like I call Vince McMahon the devil, which he really is. Like, for instance, Scott Hall in real life, he had a severe alcohol problem. Like, he was a real alcoholic.
So instead of getting help,
he was a big star. So they actually wrote his alcoholism into the storyline. So when he showed up to work drunk, they wouldn't have to sit him out that day. Like, that's the type of stuff Vince McMahon did. But I would believe that he would send Bret Hart. Like, Bret Hart's family was like royalty in wrestling. Like, his dad was a super duper star. I mean, think of the famous families in sports. Like, and their family was huge. So it's like he couldn't really get rid of them, but he liked money more. And so that's why they think that even Bret Hart was in on this. Scott Hall was one of them that says that he thinks that everyone was in on this to. One, destroy WCW, and two, to kick off the Attitude Era. Because before, I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but I mean, if you didn't watch wrestling, but Vince McMahon, he's the owner, but he was an announcer for a long time. Even though he was the owner, he was an announcer.
Running from the mic. Yep.
He wanted to step out from the table and become more the storyline and be the ultimate, like he said, at different levels of being a face or being a heel. He wanted to be the ultimate heel. And so he had to come out, and so he needed something to have people hate him enough to have so much animosity towards him. And this is something that he used to kick off the whole Attitude Era.
Absolutely. No, you're hit the nail on the head, because as the boss that everybody hates, who loved to see the guy kill the guy who everybody hated, his name was Stone Cold Steve Austin. It fit like a perfect puzzle.
Perfect. Mm. Oh, man.
The crazy thing is, so I've heard I actually listened to an interesting interview with Kevin Nash and the 1-2-3 Kid, Sean Waltman, and they're so convinced. It's just crazy, because I've heard the theories from fans. It's popular on Reddit. It's definitely, the pieces fit. 10 years after the screw job, Shawn Michaels, who was instrumental in the screw job, had adamantly denied, even on the documentary where they managed to get it. It's a fantastic documentary. It's called Wrestling with Shadows. It all managed to unfold on camera just by fluke. They were filming a documentary, so that actually adds a lot to it. You actually see the screw job happening as it happens. And it's, if it's staged, it's some pretty beautiful Oscar-worthy acting. Shawn Michaels, famously, 10 years after, just in the middle of a TV interview, and they're asking him, he goes, I was behind part of it. I was actually a part of this conspiracy. When they were like, what? Wait a minute. He's like, yeah, it's been 10 years. I'm sick of having to deny it. He's like, yeah, absolutely. He's like, I was in on it. Yeah. So it's just like, what? It's almost like we're almost due for another, like someone going, yeah, actually I was, kind of thing. And it's just like, huh? It was just, So the one person is Bret Hart denying, I don't think he's come out and said it, but, the other wrestlers, contemporary wrestlers and his friends saying things, just the things like Bret was too smart and he saw this coming and he covered all these bases and, he had a film crew. He had Vince McMahon on audio cassette confirming it. Like, there's no way this should have happened, and it should. And if it did, it's kind of the worst thing that happened in the best way to a degree. Bret Hart comes back many years later. And money is on the table that they scoop up and throw in trash bags. And did Vinnie Mac and Bret Hart win in the end?
Dude, was Vince McMahon really that smart, a businessman?
Yes. Like,
was he that good?
Yes.
That's the part I just don't understand. He turned
WWF into, they were seriously about to go out of business. WCW was killing them. The yep. NWO, they had Hulk Hogan. Bret Hitman Hart was over there. Sting was over there. Goldberg, and they were killing it.
Hulk Hogan, Macho Man.
WWE was about to go out of business, and so he had to switch it up and find new talent and just change the whole landscape of what was going on. And he did it.
He did do it. He took it started off as a very carnival, very, very dingy, dusty, in the back of bingo halls, quote unquote sports. And he took it there. I think he got a little long in the tooth. He's in the news now. He's doing some pretty terrible, terrible things. And I think he does deserve to be scrubbed from the history books. I think he kicked himself out of that book. And I think it's, thanks. But Vinnie Mac, if you can avoid jail, that's about the best. Good luck with that. But he probably does also deserve it. I won't sing Vinnie Mac's praise. I will say the purchase to... from UFC and TKO has been amazing, seeing The Rock have a leadership role, and even myself not being a huge Triple H fan, who also was quite instrumental in the Montreal Screwjob, he also has done a fantastic job for all of our pro wrestling fans listening and telling their iPhones that we're not giving current wrestling enough credit. Absolute fantastic product, and it's pretty amazing to see it on the upswing. Never thought I'd see the day where wrestling is almost sort of kind of cool again for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I kind of figured we missed that in the 90s.
Right.
But they know it kept going on. I mean, I don't know. Last time I was watching, it was like late 90s.
Yeah. I think late 90s, early 1000s is when I stopped watching wrestling.
Yeah, I stopped once The Rock and Stone Cold left. That was when I really started tapering off. But that route between those three, The Rock, Stone Cold, and Vince McMahon, when those three were going at it, I mean, nobody sold a stunner like The Rock did. He was just incredible.
Absolutely.
With it.
Once
Vince McMahon stepped back and Triple H really started running stuff, and with his daughter at the time, and Shane McMahon, and The Rock left, Stone Cold left, It went downhill for a while, and then it started picking back up, but I just never went back like I used to.
What is up with all these ups and downs? Wrestlers becoming movie stars or want to be movie stars anyways?
Right?
Like, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're just like, well, I'm already acting. Might as well, Yeah.
Well, you have to understand their lifestyle. It's kind of like people who make music. Like, when you make a CD, after that, for that guy to make money, you got to go on the road and do shows. And the same thing with wrestling. You're gone 200-300 days out of the year. You don't see your family. And so it's like, but if you make a movie, if you realize it, you get paid the same amount of money to film a movie for a month, and then you get for the whole year, as opposed to being on the road 200 days a year. So that was the allure. Plus, they were, familiar with scripts and selling the story and acting. So it's like a natural progression.
It's a lot easier on their body too. I know that even guys like Cena and The Rock, when they were, wrestling for life, to their credit, they still dip in and out quite a bit, and they still keep the fans very happy. I'm very impressed. But you can definitely tell Cena's enjoying his Peacemaker and joining the Fast and Furious franchise paychecks, and Batista. I'm a big fan of Batista. I think he's actually a fantastic actor, not just a movie star, but I think he's fantastic, and I'm loving seeing him. And I think Cena's pretty funny. He has some great comedy chops, and Hulk Hogan's acting. Well, we'll leave it at that.
And The Rock plays the same. Yeah, and The Rock plays the same role in every movie he's in.
Every single one. Yes,
he does.
Single one. I think I saw a meme the other day where there's like six of them. There were six pictures. They're like, this is six different movies, and it's all The Rock, and exact same shirt, exact same facial expression. Yeah.
but he really stretched himself in Black Adam, so he really took it to the
I will give
level.
Him Moana. I will give him Moana.
The singing, actually wasn't too bad.
Like, as a voice actor, he's great.
he's got a nice voice, absolutely.
Fantastic. I'm going to go with, if I had a favorite, it's one of his early ones. I still love The Rundown. Rundown is a fantastic, Christopher, they were really great about pairing him up with Christopher Walken, knowing that he didn't have The Rock's or charismatic chops just yet. And it was very, he had hair. It was very early in his career, but yeah, Rundown's my favorite, I think.
I think Jumanji's my favorite. He does. He's actually pretty funny in that one.
I have not seen any of the new Jumanjis. I can't bring myself to watch them.
The first one has its charm.
They're kind of cheesy.
The first one is pretty good. I went in with zero expectations, and I was pleasantly surprised.
I grew up on the original. Black is
really good at playing a teenage girl.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by that one.
Jack Black is really good in that movie. I mean, he's incredible in that movie, but The Rock is pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, hey, there's a conspiracy theory right there. Wrestling taking over Hollywood. WWE just signed one of the biggest deals currently with the streaming service with Netflix for $200 million between that and UFC. You know, I think they're trying to get up to that point where they're trying to compete with Disney and Netflix, and will not compete with them, but Disney, Amazon, and Apple and such, where it's kind of crazy to see them take over. There's a little bit of a theory right there, like Rock is trying to be one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. He's now more powerful somehow than Triple H, in an ironic turn of storyline. Two rivals in the biggest wrestling world, now they're, and look what happened in the end. It's insane how Cool Breeze brought up kayfabe, how kayfabe, it spills over into the real world, world. It's almost like 14 levels of wall break within a wall break. It's just.
Did Triple H, like, as an actor, did he actually do any movies that he was good in?
He was like passable.
I don't even
in the
remember
Blade
what
movie
he was
in.
Yeah. That's the only
role I remember him in was Blade Trinity. Yeah. And I was like, I don't remember any other movies. And he was,
but he
like
started,
you said, passable, but that's pretty nice way to put it there, Nick.
but he transitioned into actually running WWE after his career was over. Like the other ones,
he went political.
They got into acting and left, but he went up, like he's high up VP, so he makes ridiculous money running it. So that's why I don't think he ventured into movies too much.
Yeah, he did it in a very interesting, tried and true form of married boss's wife strategy. Yeah. Sorry,
married
boss's
daughter.
Boss's wife. Anyways.
They even wrote that into the storyline and
do
a drive-through. Like, and it's crazy. Like, this storyline would have gotten them canceled, but he drugged her and they went to Vegas and she was unconscious in the car, and they went to a drive-through wedding thing, and he's like, I think she's passed out. Like, no, she's fine.
Yeah.
He asked the questions and he even faked the voice. Like,
it was so bad. It was good. Yeah, it was so bad.
It was
good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they got away with some of that stuff. Yeah. Some of the stuff that they did back in the day.
And referring back to Amber's favorite wrestler, The Undertaker, a really cool story was Triple H, when he was seeing Stephanie McMahon and extremely petrified to tell anybody, especially Vince McMahon, about it, you know, thinking whatever. He actually went to the locker room leader, sat down with Undertaker, and was like, you know, like, is this even okay? Are you going to beat me up right now for doing this? I know you're Vince McMahon's guard dog. Like, am I coming to you the right thing? And Taker was just kind of like, relax. You actually seem pretty genuine. So, I'm going to give you a pass there, Sonny. Yeah.
That, and I'm pretty sure she could have kicked all of their butts if she really wanted to.
She's probably the only one, yeah. You guys remember when The Undertaker and some other dude were, what were they called? They were a tag team.
Him and Kane are the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
No. It was before that. They were like, oh, man. There's something like they were really tall brothers or two really tall guys.
Does sort of sound like them, but if there were more, I think actually,
sounds like him.
Unless you're thinking super old school, I think they might have been like him and Sid were like masters of the power bomb at some point, like when they were in WCW or something like that. If I'm like really reaching back to my wrestling history,
I think it was before Sid Vicious was there. It was Undertaker and some other dude. I don't think the other dude lasted very long, but they were like the Twin Towers or something along those lines. That's not exactly it, but it was something along those lines because it's been so long. It's probably been 350 years, but
he tagged with Big Show for a while, which was pretty awesome. That was
that'd be awesome. No, this is way before Big Show.
Oh man, you're really getting me there. That's I love he first appeared in the Survivor Series as in a tag team with three other guys, so that's like that might be part of that. Like, he was his first appearance was as like a tag team with three other dudes under the Million Dollar Man.
I'm gonna have to look it up because now it's bugging me.
Yeah, please do. It's gonna bug me too. But yeah, that's those are the big wrestling conspiracy theories I wanted to throw at you into the ropes and see if you can make a tag today. Basically, the big ones out there, there were definitely more between interesting relationships, plane rides from hell. Cool Breeze brought up the curtain call, which is actually a fun one right there. And they also have their Paul McCartney switches and such. I love to think about anything for next week. Thank our viewers and watchers, but love to hear their favorite theories, conspiracy theories, even off the wall ones. I love the off the wall ones, but there's a lot of them out there.
Definitely. As always, you can email us at chatterfromtheunderground@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Send us your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, both for us or for the show.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But I think before we do, we actually could maybe grab, there was possibly, if anybody has any outside buried treasure recommendations. I think I loved a few of the recommendations we got last week. What's something new that anybody's been watching, listening to, anything out there I'd love to hear.
Fallout just dropped. I think I'm about to start watching
that. That's the big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hearing hit or miss things about it, but
the movie?
My roommates are like
TV show.
My roommates are like huge Fallout fanboys, so you know I'm kind of taking it with a grain of salt.
I've heard about it too, and all I've heard is it's just there's so many sexual scenes in it, like really.
That's not Fallout.
That's my point. I was like, dude, this is a you know end of the world type you know dystopian society where people are like having to survive by like the scruff of their neck, and I'm like, why is everybody screwing? If I was in that situation. That would be the last damn thing on my mind. I'm just saying.
Right?
You gotta go out with a bang.
I'm doing this to live. Thank you very much.
I guess so. Yeah, you'd have to. Literally.
But I think Last of Us ruined it for all gaming because I think that one was pretty well done. So I think
still got to finish season one. Still got to finish it. It's a timing thing. Didn't get a chance to really throw out any drink recommendations this week because there's so many out there, and myself being the beer guy and going to Cool Breeze's favorite with Stone Cold Steve Austin, I was going to go with just a good old classic beer. I'd love to on camera, but I like my laptop and equipment too much, so I'm not going to drink it Stone Cold style. I'll throw an imaginary cheers to my fellow casters and everyone out there in chatter world, but yeah, cheers friends, and that is going to be the recommendation. It's just a good old classic Steve Weiser.
So I'm actually going to plug another podcast real quick. Okay. Listening to editing, one of the other ones I work on dropped the first episode last week. So if you like tabletop RPGs, go check out Crisis Level Green.
Nice. All right. And with that, folks, we're going to play our outro music, and we'll see y'all later.
Cheers, everyone.
Have a good one.